This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. The list of Vermont's architectural gems includes the State House, some unique barns, and the state's many iconic New England church buildings. One other structure that should be on the list is the Orchard House. This is the mansion built in the 1910s by Edward Everett, a wealthy Ohio businessman. It's now the main building on the campus of Southern Vermont College in Bennington. Everett made his fortune from producing lightning jars, the precursors of the mason jar. The Orchard House served as a summer home for his family and was patterned after the English feudal mansions of the 14th century. Recently, Southern Vermont College President David Evans gave VPR's Rick Singeri a tour of the building. Here are some of their highlights.
The mansion is 27 rooms, I think, and the outside is made from blue limestone, which was quarried both here on the property and down the road a little bit in Pownall, Vermont. It has red terracotta roof tiles that were made in Italy, and a lot of the fixtures inside come from all over the world. There are a lot of the original silver fixtures, which come from England, different kinds of hardwood floors, which are harvested from all over the United States. It's a little bit wacky in the sense that it's a terrible building for the Vermont climate. The terracotta roof tiles obviously are very subject to freeze-thaw cycles, and that's always a problem. The windows are all single-pane windows, and of course it doesn't have air conditioning. We struggle a little bit with that, but it's beautiful, and it was clearly built to take maximum advantage of the view, kind of takes in the entire valley, and it has views to the north and to the south, as well as over towards the east, right up against the side of Mount Anthony here. And it's in quite good shape overall for being 105 years old and of a kind of fragile construction.
Don't undersell those views. Explain to everyone what you see when you're here at the mansion.
Sure. Well, looking out of my office window to the north, the first window to the north frames what I think of as probably the best view in Bennington, which is of the Bennington Monument framed by some rather tall trees. And at the bottom of that row of tall trees are some apple trees. And then rotating around from there, my office has about a 270-degree range of view, and it looks out over the valley. So you can see downtown Bennington. You can see the steeple of the old First Church, which is, of course, a lovely historic building here in Bennington, the mountains to the east on the road over to Brattleboro, and then a little bit to the south elsewhere in the building. You can see more to the south on the way down to Williamstown. And it's about probably 300 feet above the level of the valley of Bennington, and so it's not a flat view. You can see the mountains from above the trees up here. And I get to witness the seasons change up here. The fall in particular is absolutely amazing, although all year round it's really lovely.
All right, let's go see the building.
Sure. So here's the really fabulous ceremonial staircase, and I always feel slightly like the Addams Family on this staircase, but you can see that it was made to create some drama with the various angles, and we're coming up to the main entrance out onto the patio. So there's this little seating area here in this niche, and then you can go out into the patio. And I think because this was a summer house, there was a lot of emphasis on a kind of indoor-outdoor living. And then when we have commencement, we do the commencement in a tent down on the lawn, and the students line up and process down this staircase and down the lawn into the tent. It's really great. It's just absolutely spectacular with the flags and the bagpipes and everything. And then the other thing that's kind of interesting, you can see it here, and all the way along on the ground floor is this frieze, and you can see it's made up of eaves. Some of them are facing backwards and some of them are facing forward, but his name was Edward Everett, so he's got this design of these interlocking eaves, and you can see one of the major influences on the decoration here. This is a little later than this was going on in England, but that sort of Charles Rennie Mackintosh style of decorative painting. And this is original. This is the original painting. It's never been restored, and it's all around edges of the trim all the way around the ground floor. This is kind of amazing. This is the library. This is Sarah Sanfilippo, the librarian.
Hi, Sarah.
This is the other really amazing place in here. So this was the original dining room and the sunroom or the music room, and it has its original tapestry wallpaper. It has the original sterling silver fittings, including this amazing chandelier here, which is solid sterling silver. It weighs about 200 pounds. And then the little sconces are also all original. This is Cuban mahogany, the paneling. Local marble, this black marble in the fireplace. And during the school year, students are sitting in here studying and reading and so on. It goes out into the music room, and the music room is also really nice with this kind of round bay window and the slightly lighter paneling. You look at this pocket door, and it's been operating for about 105 years, and it's solid mahogany and glass, and it's about 6 feet wide, so you have to figure it weighs 300 or 400 pounds, and it still works perfectly, still slides as smoothly as glass, so it's really remarkable. I mean, the workmanship on the place was very high level. He brought the stonemasons in from Italy. In the east coast of the United States, there was a large influx of Italian stonemasons. And last year, we graduated a student who was the great-grandson of one of the people who was involved in building the mansion. He was the guy who did the chimneys. Okay, so this is the main hall, and you can see it's inspired by English country houses with the barrel vaulted ceiling. It's like a long gallery, and the arched windows with the vaults over the windows, and again, the beautiful trim painting. And again, you can see it's also set up for cross ventilation. You can open these windows and open these windows and the doors into the gallery here, and you end up with pretty nice airflow. Out in the courtyard behind the mansion is this cascade with this niche. And this niche or grotto is obviously designed with some of the Italian gardens in mind, like at the Boboli Garden. There's that very famous grotto in the Boboli Garden with the fat little dwarf riding the turtle. But the whole cascade and this piece of landscape, and there's a patio up at the top, was designed by Frederick Law Olmsted's firm in around 1920 or 1921. The cascade still kind of works. It has its original plumbing, but the bowls are lined with cement and they're cracked. And so when you start, it doesn't have a whole lot of water in it. So when it starts running down, it drains through the bowls into the ground. So it gets down about 5 bowls and then it sort of runs out. And then this is the Bergdorf Gallery, and it is the formal living room that the Everetts had. And again, it still has all of its original chandeliers and the original fittings in the doors, these really interesting door handles, and these amazing hinges. Because of the way the doors swing, you see the hinges stick out about 6 inches so that the doors can shut and accommodate the arch. So this one's a little worn, as you can see. But so these very unusual, so that they can open fully around. They open actually flat against the side of the walls. And since the wall is 15 inches or 16 inches thick here, the thing has to swing wide about that far so that the doors can open all the way.
And what living room doesn't need 4 pillars?
Oh, of course. You got to have the pillars. You got to have the crystal chandeliers. It's all really critical. And obviously, they wanted Corinthian columns, too, because Doric and Ionic were kind of too simple. Everything about this is really nice. The arched carvings around the doors and these amazing door handles with these very elaborate locks to unlatch them. See, they rotate that latch, hooks into that fitting down at the bottom. And so it's like getting into a submarine or something. I mean, they're amazing. They're these cast bronze things that are just really elegant and beautiful.
When you became president, did you have to take an entire day to learn how to open and close doors?
Kind of, yeah. And where the light switches are. The light switches, because, of course, this building was built before electricity, really, there's a lot of kind of improvised wiring. And so the light switches are not necessarily where you would put them if you were building the place from scratch. So they're located in a variety of quirky areas.
Oh, look at this.
This is my very favorite thing of the entire place. And there's only one of them. Is this incredibly weird sort of outdoor sconce with this lady's arm sticking out of the wall and holding the lamp. And it's very, very Addams Family-like, I think. I don't know why. I mean, it's just so creepy. I can't imagine why anybody ever thought that it was a good idea, but I just love it. So
you and me both. It stopped me right in my tracks.
That was Southern Vermont College President David Evans giving VPR's Rick Sangari a tour of the Orchard House. And we have photos from the tour, including that mysterious wall sconce, on our webpage at vpr.net.